over 300 consecutive workouts with perfect blood sugars, maintaining 100% time in range between 70 and 180 milligrams per deciliter. And I finally found the one that knocked me off of my streak. I finally failed out of that perfect blood sugar range. Now, in today's episode, we're going to talk about the one workout that finally destroyed my blood sugars, and really the lesson that I learned that I hope to transfer to you, this lesson that might save you from some frustrating blood sugars, whether it's low blood sugars or high blood sugars surrounding exercise, because you can experience both. There's a lot of misunderstanding around especially type 1 diabetes and exercise, but also non-diabetics and diabetics alike, that I want to break down this episode and just give you the answers. Now, over 300 workouts that I did were also specific for triathlons, and then now training for a half Ironman. And in my most recent workout, a 60-mile bike ride, learned a very important lesson that was almost a dangerous lesson learned as well. If you don't know who I am, my name is Matt Vandevecht. I am a certified master fitness trainer and nutritionist, which also made it a little bit easier that as somebody living with type 1 diabetes, I sought perfect blood sugars through those workouts. I'm going to give you guys the keys to the kingdom in today's episode. I hope you find it useful and enjoyable as I break down this ridiculous story and the reason why I can't walk today. Let's get into our episode.
I've spent the last 10 years pushing the limits while identifying trends and patterns in my type 1 diabetes management. Follow along as I learn, apply, and share the fitness, nutrition, and lifestyle strategies that I've learned from diabetes experts around the world. The real question is, how can we live fearlessly with diabetes while maintaining stable blood sugars? This podcast is here to give you the answer. My name is Matt Vandevecht, head coach and co-founder of FTF Warrior, and welcome to Part of My Pancreas.
Hey, real quick, before we get into the episode, I'm coming to you from actually my parents' house because our house is flooding. Not the house itself, but the neighborhood. And that might have impacted the audio quality of this episode. We're just listening back to it with the team right now. It sounds like there's quite a bit missing where the audio cuts out. So bear with me. I'm really sorry about that because this episode I really intended to be the absolute best resource in getting into this type of topic. So what I'll do is, if this ends up being a little more choppy than you anticipated and you're hoping to get more value out of this, I want you to comment with the word redo and then add your question that you'd like me to add into another episode. And what I'll do is a little Q&A session. And if this is enough of a topic that you guys want more info on, we'll create a little mini series on it. Okay. And if not, by all means, enjoy. The episode itself is still great. There's just a couple of missing chunks of audio. So bear with us. I apologize. I wish we could redo it, but with the rainstorms coming through San Diego right now, I actually can't go back to the studio right now to record. So I hope you enjoy it. Leave me a comment. Let me know what you guys think. Let me know what questions you have, and I hope you enjoy the episode. All right, so first things first, the worst workout for your blood sugars, especially if you're like me, you live with type 1 diabetes, is the workout that you are unfamiliar with, that you don't know what to expect. And in this case, I joined a group of cyclists as somebody who doesn't traditionally cycle, but I know I needed to for this half Ironman coming up. And the route they took me on was extremely difficult. I'm just going to be completely transparent. They are light years ahead of me in cycling experience and fitness levels, and I was pushing my max. In fact, when they stopped at a stoplight to wait for me because I couldn't keep up, they said, "Hey man, how's it going?" And I said, "Humbled. I am humbled." And he said, "Well, you're doing great. This is a wonderful Sunday for a chill ride." I said, "Chill? I'm glad it's chill for you guys. I'm dying back here." That was the truth. I was struggling just to maintain the pace that they were at. And eventually, me and one other guy ended up dropping back. The rest of the guys, they pushed a bit faster. But in this this bike ride, we were aiming for what's called a half century, or a 50-mile bike ride. We got to the end, me and the guy that I was with, and said, "You know what, we're at 50, let's just do 56, which is the official half Ironman distance, which is what I'm going to be racing in 60 days. Oh boy. And then we got to 56 and it was like, 60 sounds cooler. Let's just get 60. And by the end, my legs didn't work. And so now I'm at a spot where it's actually very painful. a lot of different injuries going right now. I'm actually training on a stress fracture in my foot. I've got some knee issues, but not gonna let that stop me. Now, I wanted to get into the science behind what pushed me out of that perfect blood sugar range in just a second. But before I do, wanted to share a little bit of a split for this YouTube and this podcast channel. Now, traditionally, I've put all of our episodes in this little box, this one place. But I've noticed that a lot of my content has centered around triathlons and now, of course, the half Ironman that I'm training for because it's a big part of my life. In fact, the ride yesterday, 60 miles, that took almost 5 hours of my day, right? So it's a large portion of my life, not just mentally and physically, but also time-wise. So with that being said, I am splitting channels. We're going to have all the diabetes and blood sugar focused content remain here, FTF Warrior and Pardon My Pancreas, and we're going to split into my personal brand that I actually haven't used this channel in like 10 years at Matt Vandevecht, or it might be Matthew Vandevecht. I'll put that in the description for you so you can link it up. But that channel used to be about my world travels when I would do a bunch of modeling and acting, and they just fly me all over the place, and I basically lived on a plane and on a bus. It was nonstop. But now we're going to rebrand that. It's going to be largely fitness, nutrition, mindset, and optimizing our overall health as a channel. So all the tidbits and areas of expertise I've picked up over the years, you can head over there, subscribe if you want to follow the journey of this half Ironman training. A lot more of the raw footage from training, the nutrition that I consume, the specifics behind why that's good for my blood sugars, and to show the rest of the world what it's like to live with type 1 diabetes as an endurance athlete and how difficult it is. I had this great conversation with the cyclist beforehand, and I was like, hey, just so you guys know, I'm diabetic. If I pass out, just give me sugar, right? Like, bare minimum, that's what you gotta know. And they were like, hold on, our cousin's type 1. And I was like, whoa, that's awesome. I mean, not really, but I'm glad you guys are familiar with it. And they said, oh, but he's not as controlled. It seems that you've got things pretty dialed in. We've saved his life on numerous occasions. Brought him to the hospital for a 700. We found him at a 22 blood sugar and had to revive him, essentially. I was like, whoa. I mean, that happens, you know, to the best of us. But yes, I would say that I do have it more dialed in. And of course, that was the ride that pushed me out of my 100% time and range streak for over a year, where I've done over 300 consecutive triathlon and half Ironman workouts like this one, and maintained 100% time and range. So today I want to talk a bit about what I've been doing that's allowed me to maintain over 300 consecutive workouts, perfect blood sugars. Talk about how you can model that. And if it's something that you're interested in, you can go a bit deeper down that rabbit hole as well. So first and foremost, I use what's called the 80-20 blood sugar formula. So before every ride, I know the numbers. Current blood sugar, insulin on board. I'm looking at my AIRs, which I teach my clients, your activity impact ratios. I know my macronutrients and how the digestion speed is going to change depending on what I've eaten previously and during that exercise as well. There's other factors like your changing insulin sensitivity, depending on how active you have been and how active you are during this ride, the type of exercise, the type of food. There's a lot of factors that go into blood sugars, right? I think that that's understandable. We can all agree on that. But when you start to uncover the science behind those factors, you see which ones are able to be manipulated. And that's what I look at is, okay, blood sugars are doing this. There's no changing what they're already doing, but how can I manipulate the outcome of that? So before heading into any of my triathlon or half Ironman workouts, we'll just call them endurance workouts from now on. It's easier. Before heading into any endurance-based workout, I know from my patterns, and that's step number two, is to know your patterns because we're all a little bit different. My patterns show that all endurance activities lead to a drop in blood sugars, but the we'll call it amount of drop and the severity of the drop, how fast it happens, differ sport to sport. So triathlon is swimming, cycling, and running. So swimming, I take my pump off, that changes everything because I no longer have basal insulin, right? Cycling, I'm using a lot more muscles and incorporating cardio. So it's a consistent movement, but my legs are on fire. They're burning the whole time, especially with yesterday's workout because it was very hilly. I think we had over 3,000 feet of elevation gained. And then running, of course, a little bit different as well, more consistent, but for some reason, myself and a lot of my type 1 clients see a bit more of a drop with running specifically earlier on in the workout, we'll say. Now, I mentioned earlier that the worst type of exercise for your blood sugars is the one that you're unaware of the variables or maybe unfamiliar with. The type of ride we did yesterday was a brand new distance for me. In fact, 2 weeks ago, the longest I had ever gone for a bike ride was 25 miles. And that was because that's the distance for my Olympic distance triathlon I did last year. Last week, we did 42.5 miles. Double. This week, we did 60 miles. So in 2 weeks, I almost tripled my distances. And I did the same thing for running. A few weeks ago, started off, was embarrassingly at 1.5 miles. And the event that I'm training for, that I am in no way ready for, is 13.2. It's a half marathon. So I went from 2.5 to 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 8. And at 8, ended up getting a stress fracture in my foot. I was training too quickly. And if you see me looking off screen, I'm making sure that my daughter is still sleeping, which also is tricky. Training for an endurance sport like this is, of course, taking care of my toddler. But all that to be said, looking at the blood sugar strategies for these different types of exercises, cycling, for the most part, aerobic, it's a consistent effort. But yesterday, I was unfamiliar with this course, and the course turned out to be very, very hilly. So like I said, lots of elevation gain, 3,000, somewhere between 3,000 and 3,700 feet of climbing, of elevation on a bike. Over 60 miles, of course, as well. So difficult, but what I noticed over the last two rides that I've done with this group in these hilly segments is that during the hilly section, my blood sugars absolutely plummet. I'm talking about I consumed 100 grams of carbs in the space of 30 minutes, and it continued to drop. And so when I did get pushed out of range on this specific ride yesterday, admittedly, because I want to keep everything completely honest and transparent with you guys about what I go through with my blood sugars as well, it was difficult to maintain the plan when you have other people's schedules, right? So other people were running late. I had already eaten my snack. That would give me a buffer. So what I like to do is I snack before I go out for endurance activities, and I snack during, and then if needed, I snack afterwards. And by snack, I had already eaten some dates and an RX bar, and somebody was about 15 minutes late, and that 15 minutes pushed me from, I think I was at 160, which is right where I wanted to be before a 60-mile bike ride, pushed me up to 194. I was there for 5 minutes, came back down to 181, and then back down into 175. So for 10 minutes, I was out of range, and there goes my hot streak of 300 consecutive workouts. Oh man, but that is the difficulty. That's difficulty number all the different variables, right? So for me, one of the big secrets, of course, is the blood sugar formula. I use that, I teach that to all my clients. It feels like magic. It's insane. I spent 2 years developing this blood sugar formula, and it works like nothing else I've ever experienced. We have medical teams that come through our programs just to learn the blood sugar formulas that we teach. It's that powerful. But step number two is the more you have control over the other variables, the environment, the timing of the exercises, the easier it is, right? So if I have space to say, we're starting now, it's way easier. I know we said we were going to start right now, but we're now starting in 30 minutes. Which is what happened the week before as well. So when you have other schedules to consider, it does get more difficult. And for an endurance-based activity where you are playing with some very volatile variables, it is critical that you maintain control over as many of those variables as you can. So I had my backpack stuffed full of carbs, and to fully explain why it's carbs and I was expecting a massive drop, aerobic activity in general, we'll just say cardio, right? So like walking, jogging, those tend to drop blood sugars for most people. And ultimately, the glucose is being burned at a faster rate than it's being released by our body. So we also have stored glucose. Without getting too far into the science, I'll point you guys towards a different training that goes deeper into this. But we are burning the glucose in our bloodstream, which is why we see blood glucose levels plummet, right? And so during this ride, which was largely aerobic, there was a segment I told you about with fluctuating largely. Muscles are being incorporated. My legs were on fire, where I would argue it mimicked an anaerobic workout, which is more resistance training, right? Big gears on the bike. Push, push, push. My legs are just dying, right? During that segment, I noticed my blood sugars completely dropped like a rock. It was incredible. That's where I had the 100 grams of sugar and it did nothing. Over 300 grams of carbs. I also turned my insulin pump off for a 30-minute segment and a 10-minute segment at two different points in the ride because the carbs that I was consuming seemed to be doing nothing. It was wild. And so an unfamiliar workout is by far the most dangerous because I knew I was going to drop and I knew I needed at least 200 carbs. I 40 grams of carbohydrates before we started, which is why I hit 194 because the timing was just a little bit off. And I mean, it's somebody who doesn't know what to expect, somebody who doesn't have their blood sugar formula set up in place, this could be detrimental. Especially because we were biking, we ended up cycling through 11 different cities. And to get between the different cities, there's nobody out there. So if I was not ready for those drops, if I didn't have a backpack full of sugar ready for that, I could have had a severe urgent low blood sugar, passed out on the side of the road, nobody would have ever found me or gotten to me in time, and I'd be dead. It's critical that if you live with diabetes, that you understand the inner workings of exercises. I've seen people pass out like that from a walk. And it's not to scare you. I don't say that to say you should shy away from exercise. I'm pursuing a half Ironman, which I will also say has me nervous. I want to be completely transparent with you, and I'm going to share a lot more about this on that other channel of mine, the Matt Van de Vecht page on YouTube. I'm nervous. These are distances I've never pursued. The longest bike ride I've ever been on in my life before this was like 4 miles. The longest run I had ever done was 3, and it's because I was training to be a firefighter, and that was the bare minimum. So actually, that's a lie. I did 6 miles in college because as a collegiate athlete on the rowing. Anyways, I share this because this entire practice, this does make me a little bit nervous. It's a little unsettling to think about being out in the middle of nowhere, and all I have with me are my wits and what I've packed in my backpack, right? But it's possible when you know what variables to look for. Types of activity we're focusing on right now. Aerobic, for the most part, drops blood sugars for most people. Anaerobic usually causes a spike in blood glucose levels. If you go lift weights, for example, or do an Orange Theory class, or you know, high intensity interval training. Now there's a lot of science behind that as well. I don't have time for it. I'll give you guys a little training. Is that there are counter regulatory hormones that can be at play. Adrenaline, cortisol, we've got muscle glycogen stores dumping, the liver is dumping glucose. A lot of things can lead into this, but that's what the pattern for most people is. What's interesting is that I mentioned with this hill climb that I was doing, where it probably was closer to anaerobic, where it was up and down, heart rate is varying a lot, but I saw my blood sugars plummet instead, and I was unfamiliar with that. I had never done hill segments like that in my life, especially in the middle of a 60-mile bike ride, because that was a lot of firsts for me right now. But I want you to understand that these things are possible, but they are massively easier when you've got a few different pieces in place. One, your blood sugar formula. That's what we help people set up in our coaching programs. That will give you the biggest advantage over any other person surviving with diabetes to thriving with diabetes, where you know, you don't have to train for a half Ironman, but you could. You know, you don't have to go enter an eating contest, but you could. So it opens up a lot more flexibility and freedom to where you're able to eat the foods you love, do the activities you like. Daughter, let's check in on her. Yep, she's still napping. Cool. My daughter, super active. She's actually really fast too. Like, gonna see if she wants to hop into triathlons in a few years. But chasing her around would be a nightmare for my blood sugars. Predict stable blood sugars. That's the kind of stuff we teach our clients. So when looking at the worst types of exercises, the worst types of foods, the worst types of lifestyles, the worst of everything is just the one you don't have a plan for because you're unfamiliar with it. If you have my wife's family, Italian, her grandparents are from Sicily. So we go out for dinner a couple nights ago to celebrate birthdays. Where do they take us? A little hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant. There's no carb counts. The food, there's nothing to compare it to because it's all made in-house. I got a bowl of pasta. I got calamari. I got a shrimp Caesar salad. Tons of food, and it was delicious, right? These things are possible only if you have your blood sugar formulas set up. That's the key, okay? Step number two, I've been connecting with other triathletes, other Ironman athletes who live with type 1 diabetes. If someone else has done the thing that you want to do, like achieving stable blood sugars, just go to the pros. Go to the experts and say, hey, I have a few questions, right? Or I'd like some guidance on this. Or, which I also did, I'd like to hire you as a coach because you're really good at this. And I hired somebody to walk me through how to do this stuff because I've never done endurance sports in my entire life. In fact, I hated them for most. All that to be said, which I keep saying, I've said that phrase a lot. Ultimately, there you go. Ultimately, it's about finding the shortcuts in life, finding the coach or the expert or the mentor who can give you the answers so you don't have to go through trial and error. If I didn't know what I was doing, guarantee you, I would not have thought to consume 100 grams of carbs in 30 minutes while my blood sugars were at 150. That doesn't sound like a good plan, does it? 25 and 135 for the next hour of the bike ride. Because I had 100 carbs before it was even necessary, right? So being able to be proactive, that's kind of the final step here, is being proactive with the strategies, with the lessons you've learned from the mentors. Actually thrive with diabetes. So I got two pieces of homework for you. First one, if you want to follow the half Ironman journey, and then of course beyond that, diving deeper into nutrition, recipes, blood sugar health overall, optimizing both our fitness and our mind. It's not a company, it's just me. Going to post in what I find helpful, posting my journey, the stories, and then I'm going to post our first multi-video series of the half Ironman journey. Probably later this week, and it's going to go over, should have been the end of this journey. And I mean, including the one right now where I can't walk, at least I'm wobbling, currently on a stress fracture. And what's wild is that it's not my first stress fracture. I've hit my hip on my last race. This has been a wild ride, and I want to share every piece of it with you guys. And so that's going to be on that channel. But then beyond that, we've got some exciting partnerships that we're going to bring you guys on that channel as well, doing some giveaways, both with food, exercise. It's either Matt Van de Vecht or Matthew Van de Vecht. Yes, I know it's hard to spell, so only the true fans are going to find their way to it. you can Google it. But that'll be a great spot. So first step, if you want to follow the half Ironman journey and then beyond my own, then go over to that page, Matt Van de Vecht. Second piece, for all of my type 1 diabetics, or we'll say insulin-dependent diabetics. I've worked with a few type 2s, 1.5, a lot of gestational. If you're taking insulin, Realm and blood sugars, look at how I was able to maintain 300 consecutive workouts at 100% time and range while doing 8 mile runs, 42 and a half mile bike ride. I broke a personal record, so I'm kind of okay with it. Plus it relieves the stress of maintaining a streak of over 300 workouts. But if you want more understanding on how you can optimize blood sugars to live your best in your dogs or playing with your kids, that's covered as well. You're gonna wanna go to a website where we're hosting a free training that goes over what I mentioned, how I've been doing these crazy workouts, your activity impact ratios, and that's for exercise, stable. So how I can eat Italian food or go out for burgers, or I have pancakes like every day. It's a pretty simple strategy I want to show you in there. And then three, how to optimize blood sugars so that you don't have to think about them as often. What I want you to do right now is go to I have type 1 diabetes. I live with diabetes in action. So diabetesinaction.com. Free training. Go check it out. It'll dive a little bit deeper into some of the strategies, some of the things I mentioned today. And it'll give you a chance to connect with us as well. .com. Subscribe to the other page. I'm putting a video up later this week on my half Ironman training and the insane series of injuries and obstacles that I've run into so far. And the next 60 days that I have, 70.3 mile race. So I hope you found this one helpful. Ultimately, diabetes doesn't have to stop you. You just got to be smart about it. Get your blood sugar formula set up and then figure out who's got the answer, find the expert, the coach, the mentor, whoever it is, to give you the shortcuts that allow you to learn without making the mistakes yourself. Okay, so again, hope this was helpful. Hope you enjoyed it, and keep up the fight.